Yo, what's happening? What's happening? How are you doing? How is your life? How is your world, man? Good day to you whenever you see this. But hey, good evening if you're looking at it right now. It's time. It's time as we get closer to the road to WrestleMania with the Elimination Chamber on the way. So it's time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. And that does mean it is time for the first Black Champ podcast. And it's still me, the pick, Cam from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. Make sure you follow us on everything at the FBC Pod. Make sure you go ahead and get that merch you see Cam with the hoodie on. You know, winner ain't left yet. Sonic may not have seen his shadow, but it snowed in some places in the world. So winter ain't left yet, even though it's going to be in 50s next week.
I was going to say, it was 30-something degrees yesterday, and it was like a high of 47 today in Tennessee, in middle Tennessee. So, yeah, it's cold out here. You know what I'm saying? You still need this.
You know what I'm saying? But, hey, man, y'all go ahead and get that merch. Make sure you follow us. Great show planned for you today. You know what I'm saying? We going to talk about Elimination Chamber, you know, early next Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, at like 4 or 5 o'clock a.m.
Yeah. Ooh, good luck with that.
Well, for me, the kids wakes me up early, so I'll be ready and watching. So if there's a thread going on, I'll be there. I don't know about nobody else, but I will be there watching Elimination Chamber in Perth, Australia.
Yeah,
you
man.
Know what I'm saying? So, but we're going to talk about this Rock promo. All right, so The Rock is officially a member of the Bloodline. He wanted to make it be known.
Yeah.
He came out there as a mixture, I would say, of 90s, like 98 rock mixed with Hollywood rock. Yeah. He had the Versace on with no sleeves on. You know what I'm saying?
Congrats, you caught that.
And a couple of other things, you know, and a lot of people are talking about his promo and, you know, how was it? So let's jump out the gate with this. How did you like this version of The Rock with the Bloodline and some of the things that you liked or maybe disliked?
Man, you know, it was cool. It was cool. Heel Rock is the funniest Rock. Like, he's honestly the one that is the funniest. It's like, there is an art to slander. And I think that when The Rock gets into his heel bag, I think that's when he's truly like one of the best. But, you know, that run is super short because mostly what we have, the sample size that is of The Rock being the super over-the-top face that picks on the guy that we all hate, so it helps to get over, like, 10x. You know what I mean? Like, we don't like Austin Theory. We don't like Jinder Mahal. We didn't... a lot of people didn't like Jericho when he first got to the WWE. So whenever he's in that mode where he's just going at the new heels, the top heels, the most hated, you know, it comes across different from when he's just disrespecting the fans. But I was kind of conflicted because although I didn't think The Rock's promo was bad, it was he gave me elements of I'm trying to be a heel to y'all. You know, it didn't feel effortless. It didn't feel like it was something super organic, because let's be real, it's not. Like, it's not. The people are only booing because they want Cody in the main event and not him. He didn't hit nobody with a chair. He didn't really turn on nobody. Now, look, he did slap shit out of Cody, and that was funny. Yeah. But the people were mad before he did that, though. So it don't even, like, it don't count. Like, so I think it was cool, and to cut it short, because I don't really have much to say beyond that, it looks like The Rock is about to take down one more faction. That's what it looked like. That's that. Hey, hey, listen.
I'm gonna read you a text. I'm gonna read you a text because I was listening to Busted Open this morning. Since we didn't do the show this morning, yeah. I had a chance to listen to Busted Open with Jonathan Hood, you know, our OG, and Justin. And I text Hood this because Hood was. He wasn't kind of going there, but he was insinuating. So I text him the Rock playing Cointel Pro again. That's what it is. Like I told him the Rock playing Cointel Pro again. And I could like I don't want to go in the storyline mode here because I was ready to kill the promo today, Camp. I was ready to shit on the promo. I thought it was terrible, to be honest. And them people don't want to boo Rock.
Right.
Like, they booing the player alone. They're not booing because it's authentic and you're making me hate you. They're booing because it's like, okay, we're going to play along with The Rock today. Yeah. You know, he's calling us all of these names. You know, he's getting his Ravishing Rick Rude on. And, okay, we know this shtick, Rock. Boo.
Yeah. We're in reds. Yeah,
son, you supposed to boo this. Boo. Like, it was nothing authentic about that promo other than you guys could have had the main event of the century, but y'all cried it away. Other than that, I didn't like the Versace shirt. I didn't like him coming out with the black Chelsea boots. I ain't like him coming out with the tight black jeans. I did not like this Rock. All right. And mind you, at the age that I am, I'm supposed to like this Rock because I've grown up with this. But fam, when you a billionaire, my G, you can't go back to when you was not. To character when you was not, fam. Yeah. Like you're no longer that Rock. Dwayne, this ain't you no more, Jack.
Yeah.
This you was still close. You're more closer to $7 Rock at that time than you are at the status that you are at right now. I would have rather The Rock come out there a bit more organic, a bit more honest and truthful about this shit, and still say, Cody, you not gonna get it.
Yeah.
But all this all this trying to tear down the fans because you want them to boo you, Rock, let me just say this to you, Rock. You don't have to do that no more.
Right.
You are Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Since you did that, you was not only in the Mummy series, but you're Shaw in Hobbs and Shaw, my G.
Right.
You could be Shaw in this case. You don't have to be The Rock in 1998. This is not 2K24, fam. You don't have to use one of those characters and say which one am I gonna be today. Right. Like, no. Gee, this is as you can be as authentic as you want, even to the point where you was the only person in the ring with Versace. Man, Roman Reigns out there with his own gear. You could have wore your Under Armour shit.
Yeah.
But you didn't. You decide to say, hey, I'm going to wear my Versace, have my sleeves out, you know. No, you don't have to do that, my G.
Yes. Hey, I'm so glad you said that because when he came out, I was like, oh, The Rock on Versace. Oh, he playing into this. Like, because usually, hey, look, we from the era, Bang and I from the era when The Rock come out with Versace, somebody getting dissed. Like, so we get it. We like, hey, oh, he wearing Versace? Oh, hey. Everybody's inbred, you broke, you starving, you ugly, you fat, you stupid. Like, we get it, but it ain't the wrestlers, it's the fans. Like, the fans get disrespected when The Rock is wearing Versace, so I felt that coming. But you know what, though? See, this is how it wasn't organic. And how we were forcing the issue. Because instead of him coming out there on the third person, you know, The Rock's got his new $7,000 Versace vest on, he just turned and did a quick little promo. He did a baddie promo reel for Versace with shirt on at the top of the ramp. And I'm like, okay, so you want us to know it's Versace without saying it's Versace. And I was like, oh, come on, man. That ain't even the aesthetic of The Rock that you bringing out. It's like, no, He had to let people know, hey, The Rock is going to take off his $10,000 Versace shirt and whoop your candy ass. That's what we were expecting, but we didn't get it. Instead, we got like overdone promo. It was almost like, hey, remember this? And that's how the promo went. And it's a letdown. It's a letdown because we know for a fact The Rock is better than that. The Rock was just better than that 60 days ago.
But pause. And that's why I want to pause you at, because I was, like I said, I was ready to kill this promo, but Hood said something that I was like, okay, maybe you're right. They was prepared to go one route, but was not prepared to go this route. Mm-hmm. So it was like, yo, go for what we remember because we know it's going to work, as opposed to where we was going to go in the first place. Because you was thinking you was going to be the babyface. True. You can't. So that Jinder Mahal shit, you was prepared to be that. You was not prepared to be a heel. But true. I say this, like, again, and we're not one of those podcasts that try to overdo it with the analyst of all of this shit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it just irritated me watching the promo. Like, it's been a while since I've been irritated. And all it took was, I'm so glad Cody Rhodes was not in that ring with him. Because Cody Rhodes would have gave him the John Cena, hey, your promo on your wrist joint. Yeah. And he would have shitted on that man, and he would have to slap him for real this time. Yeah. Like, hey, y'all white motherfuckers ain't about to embarrass me again. Fuck you.
But not Utah.
Yeah, not Utah. Fuck is you talking about? But it was, but for the first promo, to me, it was overall disappointing because I don't feel like The Rock needs to go in that direction anymore. He's, again, we know you can afford Versace, my G.
Yeah.
Like your last movie, which to some people was probably a flop, the whole Black Adam shit.
Oh, yeah.
Still got you more Versace in your closet than I will ever have in my life. Yeah. You don't have to do that in this case. To me, and what's funny is jokingly, I was joking with my man A Plus and our man DJ Nails, so we gotta get on here. Mm-hmm. But I was joking with them, was like, yo, I'm about to send The Rock a DM. Like, he ain't gonna read this shit, but like, this is all about family to me. Yeah. This has nothing to do with the Versace shirt and you trying to be Hollywood Rock again. All this is family. It's personal. It's the bloodline versus the Rhodes family, or just the Rhodes legacy versus the bloodline. This is you disrespecting my family versus you disrespected my family. This is finishing the story. The Rock coming out there with Versace just basically says to me, Rock missed that whole point about this being about family. It's two other things that I noticed that I want to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because what's the show? It just came out, Franklin, from Charlie Brown. They just did a movie on Franklin.
Movie. I seen the trailer.
Yeah, I watched it because I love Charlie Brown. Like, don't mind me, y'all. I love Charlie Brown. Anything Charlie Brown, my motherfucking ass gonna watch.
Still, yeah, that's real.
Years old. But Franklin, the show just came out, and what's the meme that they use about Franklin? Franklin was on one side of the table where everybody else from the Peanuts gang was on the other side of the table. Mm-hmm. So Franklin was all alone. The Rock was Franklin in this case. The Rock was right here. The bloodline was right here. Now, yeah, they was like, yo, go ahead and get your rocks off. But you look at Roman with the Roman jumpsuit and the Nikes on. You got Solo out here with the Solo gear on and the knee pads. You got Jimmy still looking like a car cracker.
Yeah,
with
the City Trends joint on.
Yeah, with the City Trends on. You got on. You got Paul Heyman with the suit. And then you got The Rock looking the total opposite of the niggas in the same group he's in. Yeah. And the second thing to me was, hey, Rock, when you put up the one, you got to do it like this, son.
Yeah, hey.
You gotta do it like this, Rock. Let's sing along with the Rock, because I think we one episode away from getting the Rock with the guitar, and that's when I'm gonna really tune the fuck out. But Rock, hey Rock, look, that this is the ones. This is either lame or bang.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that. You might not have realized what you was doing in the moment, but when you did this and pointed it to the sky while everybody was doing this, do you realize you was the only dude in Salt Lake City who did this?
Yeah, throwing up the L. Shout out to Lil Durk.
Right. You threw up the L, or if you're a Bullet Club member, if you are a member of, you know, of AEW, you look at this and you're like, yo, this is the bang bang for, you know, this is the gun club. This is Billy Gunn's kids.
Yeah.
That this is Jay White. This is Jay White. Or
yeah.
if you're like me and you are a fan of Big Trouble in Little China, this is the shit that they did when you got the potion for the first time. So, right, I don't know if you was like throwing your L's up like Lil Durk, if you was a member of the gun club, or if you took the potion that, like, if you was, you know, Jack Burton on Big Trouble in Little China and y'all was just doing this in the elevator. But that's not the bloodline. This is the bloodline. Yeah. We're the ones.
Yeah.
Rocky, it's the ones. Be one with the ones.
You know. I tried to give him a little grace because I was like, he is over 50. I was like, maybe it's arthritis. I don't know. I was like, maybe it's arthritis. Maybe he worked out in the gym so much that he can't close like thumb to make the one. But I was like, is he throwing up the L? Like, what is this? I was like, what is this? So, yeah, man. I'm sorry, Rock. Hey, listen, and with everything Hood is saying, because I do agree. Yeah, you know what? The Rock has spent the last, what? It's 2024. So he's had at least a solid decade plus of being the super face. Like, even when it came to John Cena, he was the super face. And I get this is the switch, but I think that the momentum that he had on a Pat McAfee show when he was just calling up the Cody Crybabies and just being who he is today, I think that path was getting him a lot further than the turning back the clock. Because essentially, for all you wrestling heads that know, he did exactly what John Cena did in their promo when he went back to Thugonomics and got clowned for it. And I was like, But the thing is, what I liked about it is at least John Cena stayed very authentic to who he is as the new character, because he's still coming out to his rap intro.
Yeah.
And he still cut his rap on the Rock. And then he was like, yo, okay, you should know that. Well, now let me start telling the truth. Yo, you got pec surgery and your promo on your wrist.
Like, all right, bet. And he did the same thing with Roman.
Yeah.
Like, gee, if you was the man, I wouldn't even be here right now.
Yeah.
Niggas was like, oh.
Yeah. So, like, you know, but man, what's the line? He was, whenever John salutes you for your speech, yeah, whenever John Cena tell you, that's a mighty fine speech, you're getting flamed. Like, whatever that's, yeah, that's a fine speech. Oh shit, here we go. Like, hey, yo, you about to win a fight real for real backstage.
Right.
Like, you go approach me a gorilla. It's a problem.
You know what I would have liked from The Rock in this case? Yeah. I would have just liked The Rock to be organic and aggressive.
Yeah.
Again, this is about family. This ain't about that shirt. This ain't about my pec. This ain't about the fans. This ain't about the inbred rednecks from Salt Lake City, Utah, or whatever city that you come to next. Yeah. This is about family versus legacy. This is about keeping my family bloodline alive while diminishing your family's legacy. This is about how overrated your family legacy is. This is about how you came into the WWF off the back of your father, but your father came into the WWF wearing polka dots. Your brother came into the WWF being an androgynous, feminine character.
Yeah.
This is how you went through all of these character changes and then eventually ended up Stardust. You talk about that rich family legacy that you have. It ain't here. It might be in that other company that we destroyed in 2001, but that legacy ain't here.
Right.
So all this stuff about what you was talking about with your dad, it don't mean nothing.
I mean, F your daddy, Nick.
Like, forget, right. F your daddy. Your daddy fake won that title when it was an extra W in this. This is not even, like, that don't even matter to us. Like, at that same time, my daddy was a tag team champion. Mm-hmm. First black tag team champion. First black champ.
You did.
That same time when your daddy was bitching about not getting the title from Superstar Billy Graham, my father, I was sitting there watching my father and Tony Atlas make something. They eventually came the first black tag team champions. I was watching my grandfather, High Chief Peter Maivia, do his thing. I was watching my uncles, Alpha and Sika, doing my thing. You talk about you wanting to finish the story. We're the story. That's what I wanted The Rock to say. That's what I wanted to hear from The Rock. You want to finish the story. My family is the story. Right. And we've always been the story. And now we're at where we should have been the whole time, is at the top. And ain't nothing you're going to do going to take away from what we've earned. You go back to being Stardust. Your brother could come back here and put on that gold suit. And then we could beat his ass like we was beating his ass when he was here. That's what I want to hear from The Rock. I ain't want to see him with no Versace on, calling people inbreds and all of that stuff. Be authentic. Yeah. This is your chance to give us a new version of The Rock. Mm-hmm. We don't need to see Hollywood Rock. We don't need to see Rock in 1998. Keep that to 2K24 when you can select different versions of your character.
Right.
This right here is about family versus legacy. This is much more personal, and I want to see The Rock get more personal with Cody and his family legacy and not the fans who booed your ass when you decided to jump in and want to be in the main event at WrestleMania.
So I'm glad you said that. And I got one question because I know we probably spent way more time than we expected on this. But with that, let's say The Rock starts taking direct aim at Cody. Does that then put more pressure to see Rock versus Cody, or more hype to see Rock versus Cody than it does Cody versus Roman? And I say that for this. Yeah, we about finishing the story. But even on Raw, Cody was like, "Hey, yo, this ain't over. Hey, yo, you put your hands on me." Like, so now we're not done. See, to me, it should be Cody versus Rock at Elimination Chamber or something, because that's got to happen to me more than the title match now, especially since The Rock is getting a newfound character change because of Cody fans.
So it does make things a bit more interesting around WrestleMania, because The Rock is not going to be just in the corner of Roman Reigns. He's not just going to be in the corner. So, but then you have the Elimination Chamber that's coming up, and you have, you know, six people vying for a chance to wrestle Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. I thought it actually made more sense for The Rock and Cody Rhodes to face off in a tag team match. I don't really think we want to see The Rock in a one-on-one. Like, we saw what happened with Jinder Mahal, fam.
Yeah. I felt like it took forever. So, yeah, I got you.
Right. That whole situation felt like it took 10 minutes for, you know what I'm saying, a spine buster and an elbow. But I can see a world where on night one, the first match of night one, Cody Rhodes goes up against The Rock. And then on night two, he goes up against Roman Reigns. To the point where, not a guarantee, just I wouldn't be surprised if this happens. It's the WrestleMania 10 effect. In WrestleMania 10, Bret Hart wrestled Owen Hart, and Owen Hart defeated Bret Hart. First match of the night. Last match of the night, Bret Hart defeated Yokozuna to win the world championship. And then Owen came out, and then that's when what led to Owen versus Bret for the world championship at SummerSlam, where Owen Hart should have won that, y'all. Let me just say I've said this on this pod before. Say it again. Owen Hart should have beat Bret Hart for the world championship at SummerSlam. Complete disservice to Owen Hart. He's supposed to be a world champion. But I digress. This is why. This is my guarantee, Tito.
Okay.
I think we're all on record where Cody Rhodes is going to finish the story at WrestleMania, y'all. Yeah. I don't see no reason why in this case. But here's why. What I just told y'all kind of makes a little bit of sense. My guarantee is Cody Rhodes will finish the story and defeat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. However, that's good. Landon just wanted to let me know something. All right, so Cody Rhodes will finish the story and he will win the Universal Championship at WrestleMania in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
But the bloodline leaving with The Rock.
Okay.
Roman Reigns will be in the ring. Like, what? He's going to be confused, disheveled, all of that stuff. And we're not going to see Roman Reigns for a little bit. He's going to go on his little vacation.
Sure.
And that's when you're going to see Solo and Jimmy pushed more to the forefront. Until SummerSlam, where we will get the true fight for the head of the table, because the high chief will wrestle the tribal chief. Because now Rock will say, hey, you lost. I beat Cody. You lost. And you ain't got the championship no more. Honestly, real talk, fam, you was never the head of the table. It was always me. But I let you do that, but you were starting to get a little bit too big for your britches. So I came back in, and I want to let you know that, no, I'm not the tribal chief. I'm the high chief. There's only two high. You could say, and here's the family split.
Yeah, here we go.
You could talk that tribal chief shit all you want to, but there's only two high chiefs in this family. That's my grandfather and me.
Yeah.
So I think The Rock, if he faced Cody one-on-one, he beats Cody. And we have that question like, yo, can Cody really do it at WrestleMania tomorrow? He wins. But The Rock takes the bloodline with him, and that's when you get the face turn of Roman Reigns, because now you got to keep The Rock heel. Now you got to. And he don't have to be there because you got Solo and Jimmy who will be pushed to the forefront. But then at SummerSlam, that's when you get the fight for who is the head of the table. Is it the tribal chief or is it the high chief?
Hey, you know what? I'm honestly not mad at that. Because we get everything that I think makes sense, which is The Rock facing Cody and Roman without the title in the picture. So because that does matter to me. I'm sorry, because now, unfortunately, the biggest WrestleMania ever, and we know the finish tonight too. I'm kind of hot about that. Like, there's nothing worse than to hijack the road to WrestleMania. Like, hijacking the show was one thing, and we've seen it happen, and it is what it is, and it's entertaining in hindsight. But when we're hijacking the road to WrestleMania, it's like, oh, well, what else is going to happen? Because now the performance has got to super exceed everything. And I'm not just talking about Cody versus Roman. Everything night one and two is under the is competing against, hey, they know Cody finishing the story in Philly. Like, we got to compete against that now. So, hey, look, I hope your guarantee come true just for it to make sense and for us to have a better rest of 2024, because to be real, we're not starting off good. We're not starting off good at all.
Nah, it's a lot going on, but we're going to get to our Elimination Chamber predictions in a little bit. Yeah. As actually turned it to Cody and Seth, they had a very interesting back and forth on Raw this past Monday, where basically led to Seth Rollins playing Apollo Creed to Cody's Rocky.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Rocky 3. Like, you can't win, but I know how you can. So, am I wrong in thinking this is like Rocky 3? Or is this more like Jake the Snake, Never Trust the Snake with the Ultimate Warrior?
No, I think it's like Rocky 3, because for me, y'all, Seth cut that promo because I think he ain't getting clear. So now he got to be at WrestleMania by any means. And that sucks to say. That sucks to even think about. But, like, yeah, he talking that I'm going to be at WrestleMania regardless, but it ain't that all of a sudden February sped up and he's halfway limping out there. I don't think that Seth is going to be cleared, and this is now his definite audible, because all his plans fell through. Punk versus Seth, Cody versus Seth. This Elimination Chamber, it is what it is. Again, hey, I'm sticking by my guarantee from a few weeks ago. Damian Priest is leaving WrestleMania as the World Heavyweight Champion. I'm still sticking with that. This, to me, because there's no reason to add all these people into the main event to finish the story of WrestleMania. I think this is just making sure that Seth gets to WrestleMania in some capacity. I hate to say it, but I think that's exactly what this is.
So my question to you is if that's the case, what happens with whoever wins this Elimination Chamber? Just if that does happen.
What I think is they call a rematch between the winner and Drew McIntyre. And that opens up WrestleMania night two, opens night one, and Damian Priest cash in on Drew McIntyre. So literally, here's my guarantee. Because looking at this the way it is, it don't even matter who win the Elimination Chamber to me right now, because what I got here is another story being finished. And it's literally Drew McIntyre beating whoever wins the Elimination Chamber at WrestleMania.
Judgment Day. Well, he's in the Elimination Chamber now.
Right. And he's losing that.
Okay.
To be clear, Drew McIntyre is not winning the Elimination Chamber. But he's going to finesse his way to a world title match at WrestleMania. I mean, hey, if nothing else, it's the make good, right? Because he never really got it the first time. And then when he did get it, he lost. So now he'll come in and win. But Judgment Day come down. Yo, bum rush the show. Shout out to Public Enemy. Damian Priest puts down Drew McIntyre, ends his reign, tells him quit crying, GTFOH. And now he the world champ. Because the other story that's going on is Judgment Day versus Drew McIntyre. And we're going to end that. We're going to end Cody. We're going to end Seth. We're going to end. Hey, every story is ending at WrestleMania 4.
So that's I would be surprised if Seth is not cleared. because shit, he had a worse situation with the Samoa Joe thing that happened to his knee, and he ended up in the match. What I don't like, however, which leads to the questions, is the fact that Drew is doing everything to get into the conversation, but you talking to Cody. Yeah. Drew basically doing everything to wrestle you, and you telling Cody how you need to listen to him for your chance to win.
See?
Like, you making everything sound like y'all about to have a couple of montages. But there's no easy way out. Like, you know, with you working out, you know, in the cold Siberian winter before you drive off in your Porsche. But you got a whole match that you probably have to wrestle at WrestleMania. So I think the WWE can do a better job at making at having Seth Rollins pay attention to the shit he need to be paying attention to, is in which is who's going to win that Elimination Chamber and who I'm going to wrestle. Like, fuck you, Cody. You got your own shit to take care of. Yeah. But I'll take you to the Black and Brave gym, and you can wrestle with my homies, and then they can help you out. But I gotta wrestle, shit, Drew McIntyre or whoever wins shit.
Yeah. Hey, but see?
I can't be worried about you keeping your belt. I got to keep my own shit.
But see? That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. So somehow.
But I got a thought before you even say anything. Okay. I got a thought for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because currently right now, the Elimination Chamber match is Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, LA Knight, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we get to Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre. One person who you said don't need to win the Royal Rumble to be in a main event at WrestleMania. And another one who, in a way, don't have to do this to be in a main event at WrestleMania. Because no matter how the situation was, he won a title at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, he won the title. He wrestled twice at WrestleMania, if y'all want to, you know, be technical, because he defeated Brock Lesnar, and then he defeated the Big Show. For some strange reason, they had the Big Show come out there and be dangerous. So I'll throw this out there. What if we get to those last two, and then we hear the Bloodline music? Whether it's The Rock, whether it's Romans, shit, whether it's Solos, whoever. But the Bloodline comes into the cage and beats the shit out of the last two, making a match in no contest and no winner at WrestleMania. And then they say, fuck it, let's do The Rock versus Seth at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And then we will have these four gentlemen wrestle again at WrestleMania for the right to wrestle Seth Rollins or The Rock, whoever wins, at Backlash,
mm-hmm.
the next PV.
I mean, hey, sounds good on tape, but I got to stick to my script. And my script is Damian Priest cashing in. And I'm literally saying he's cashing in because Seth ain't ready to go. Like, I'm not, this ain't a dirt sheet. Didn't read Meltzer, didn't read Fightful, didn't read none of that. This is just me listening and watching the television and listening to Seth Rollins promos before the Royal Rumble, the one directly after the Royal Rumble, and the ones of the last 2 weeks. He has totally taken the attention off of him. It was almost like he knew the play. And that's why he came out and did that promo with Cody the first week, talking about some, no, you need to do this one. You need to have this match. It's me and you. We need to do this a fourth time or whatever, whatever, whatever. Because he knew that, hey, I need to create a diversion here, even though Cody picked at the Royal Rumble. Cody told us he facing Roman Reigns. He said that. He pointed. He looked. The pyro went off, then he pointed at the skybox, then he pointed at the sign, then he looked at the skybox, then he looked at the sign. We knew this. Seth Rollins is the first champ in history to be like, no, the winner got to fight me. The winner of the Royal Rumble got to fight me. And now what kind of sense does that make? And it's like, when you have that, but then you know the injuries. Because look, CM Punk was injured. So that, and that was his match. That was his match. Now, I'm 1,000,000,000% convinced Punk versus Seth Rollins was happening night one or night two at WrestleMania. The Shield running WrestleMania, main event in both nights, literally everything coming full circle from 10 years ago, or 12 years ago now, when Punk had brought them in, quote, from at the original storyline. It all makes sense. However, this is now looking like the injury report is longer than the actual active roster of main event superstars. So now we just call in audibles. That's why The Rock is out here. That's why Drew McIntyre is doing what he's doing. That's why Damian Priest is laying in the cut. This is why Bobby Lashley is now in the Elimination Chamber. Hey, look, what'd I tell y'all? I get it. We got to get the Aryan Nation over. But now Bobby Lashley got a shot at the title. and with the way everything is shaping up, the one thing that you can count on is Bobby Lashley being healthy enough to make it to WrestleMania. Now, look, he's not my definite pick to win this Elimination Chamber. But with everything going on, they're calling a lot of audibles. That's all I'm going to say. I got my pick, but they're calling a lot of audibles.
Yeah, well, let's get into those predictions for Elimination Chamber coming up early as shit on Saturday morning.
Facts.
So make sure you get up. If you have kids, you're going to watch it. If you do not have kids, just go ahead and watch it on Peacock when you get up in the morning. Let's start off with Judgment Day. Finn Balor and Damian Priest versus the now named New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Breit. Does the Judgment Day continue their reign as tag team champs, or will the people you don't like because they're European and you're racist against Europeans, are they going to take home the titles?
Bang is wrong. Y'all know this. And I'm actually picking Pete Dunne and his buddy Tyler. I'm picking Mr. Dunne. Mr. Dunne is going to win because, again, hey, man, I'm sticking to my script. I got Judgment Day dropping those titles.
I have the New Catch Republic winning as well due to our homie, R-Truth. R-Truth is going to mess it up for the Judgment Day, and we're going to have new tag team champions. That's my prediction. Let's go to – no, let's save that one last. And, again, these are all the matches that's been confirmed. We don't know anything else that might happen between today when we record and on Saturday morning before you have your cartoons. Let's go to the women's Elimination Chamber. We have Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair versus Liv Morgan versus Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi versus the Battle Royal winner. They're having a last chance Battle Royal on Raw Monday. So who are you picking to go up against either Rhea Ripley or Nia Jax for the Raw Women's World Championship? And I got it. Before we even do that, the WWE should have the women's championship be on Raw and then have the ladies championship on SmackDown. So you're not saying women's world, like it should be SmackDown women, ladies, and Raw women's. Reason why I say that is because I didn't realize that when I was younger, back in the 80s, they didn't call it the women's championship. They call it the ladies championship. So SmackDown get the ladies and Raw get the women.
And women get it wrong.
There you go. That's what she said. So who you got for the Elimination Chamber for the women?
As much as I love Bianca Belair, and I want that to be the pick,
I would.
all signs are pointing to this being Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch has the, she's the woman that has a storyline. She always has the insurmountable odds specialty match that gets her to WrestleMania, and this one will be no different. Because that's the one thing that they've been teasing. They'll subjectively the hottest story match we've been waiting to see is Becky versus Rhea or Becky versus Nia again. I personally disagree with it, but I see the play. So I'm picking Becky Lynch.
I don't want to pick Becky Lynch in this. I truly don't. But all signs pointing to Becky. So I'm just going to go there because my other guarantee is, yeah, we're going to have the sisters with voices. Or have you want to put these two black women together and give them some type of name. But I do have Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill going up against the Kabuki Warriors for the tag team championships at WrestleMania. That way you protect Jade and put her in a match. And shit, you did it with Omos. All right? Y'all did this shit with Omos and AJ Styles, where Omos won the first in his first ever match. He won the tag team championship. So that's my prediction right there. My guarantee that is going to be the sisters, you know what I'm saying, versus I almost said something very bad.
We'll stick with geishas.
Nah. I'm going to text it to you.
I'm
going to text it to you. But yeah, I got Becky Lynch winning that. So let's move on to the men's elimination chamber, which is Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton versus Bobby Lashley versus LA Knight. Yeah. Versus Kevin Owens versus Logan Paul. What you got?
Man, because look how God moves when the real legend come back to the scene. I am picking Randy Orton to win this Elimination Chamber match.
Oh,
Randy Orton. Hey, look. Y'all stepped on his return, and he gone. We did the whole thing with Roman Reigns, but not really. This WrestleMania, the biggest one ever, is now struggling to find all of their marquee people healthy. So, if nothing else, you know who's going to give you a moment at a WrestleMania. You know who your veteran is that the world really, the comeback ain't comebacking like it need to. But this is the match that solidifies it. The only other person I would want to pick is Bobby Lashley for a lot of the same reasons, but strictly off the fact that the best thing that we've seen from Randy since his return has been War Games, and that can't be in the top five. Randy Orton's winning the Elimination Chamber. Randy Orton's going to WrestleMania because if nothing else, Randy Orton is the guy that would make a 45% Seth Rollins look amazing. Hey, we seen what happened that last time they were at WrestleMania.
All right, look at your phone.
Yeah, I see. I was trying to avoid it through that. Yeah. Hey, man. It's just reality. It's just reality.
Yeah. I really want to choose Bobby Lashley here because I would love to see Bobby Lashley in this moment again.
Yeah.
You know, he won. He defended a title at WrestleMania going up against Drew McIntyre. And I would love to see the Street Profits, you know, be behind him and B-Fab. You know, B-Fab looks different with who she's with. Let me just say that too. Like, she looks different with who she with. That says a lot. I want to pick Logan Paul. I do want to pick Logan Paul.
Hey, I'm not mad at that pick.
Yeah, I want to pick Logan Paul for him to go up against Seth Rollins so they can argue and fight again about, you know, who's real and who's not. but I also would love to see a title versus title fight again. Yeah. And not saying that Logan Paul will be the world champion, but hey, I don't put nothing past TKO, all right? Let me say this, y'all. This ain't Vince McMahon's WrestleMania. And I think Vince McMahon would not put Logan Paul in a world championship match at WrestleMania, because if he would have done that, if he would have did that shit last year. But y'all, not only I'll just say this, y'all, if Seth Rollins versus Logan Paul were to happen at WrestleMania, it would be the best match on the card. Sorry, y'all. Logan Paul has shown me enough to where he's top tier in WWE. He's top tier. He is now the best celebrity wrestler, to the point where I think now that he signed a full-time contract with the WWE, we can remove that shit from him.
Yeah, man.
Like, he's not playing around. He's taking this very seriously. So
he went to SmackDown and Salt Lake and went crazy.
Yes, he did. Like, so I'm telling y'all, as much as I want to pick Logan Paul versus Seth Rollins as the main event at night one at WrestleMania, if he can do that shit in Saudi Arabia with Roman Reigns, he can do this against a man who I say can have a great match with a broom. Mm-hmm. And you would get all the celebrity fanfare and all of that stuff that comes with Logan Paul going up against Seth Rollins. And again, it would be match of the night and not even close. Yeah. But it is impossible for me to do that because all roads are leading to Drew McIntyre winning this. And it's Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. I don't know if Drew McIntyre will win it and then Damian Priest will come through and have part two of the greatest cash-in ever. Same thing with Seth. I don't know if he does that and has the greatest cash-in ever part two. But all roads are leading to those two going up against each other. So, unfortunately, I'm going to pick Drew McIntyre. But I would love to see Seth versus Logan main event night one at WrestleMania, title versus title.
Hey, listen, man, it's a big match. Listen, WrestleMania, and I know y'all don't want to hear this, but WrestleMania is for the casual fans now.
Exactly.
So, if Logan Paul's in the final three, save your tweets. Because it just might go down exactly how Bang is saying. WrestleMania is no longer for core wrestling fans. And to be real, it's been, you know what, since WrestleMania Hollywood, you can argue that it, like the first one, not the last one, that very first WrestleMania Hollywood, what was that, 06, 07?
I think so.
You could argue that it ain't been for us since then. So, hey man, nothing surprises. Cross, we on the same page. But I got Damian cashing in no matter what, because I don't think Seth is quite healthy enough to be cleared, even though he's saying he don't give a damn.
And you know what? I'll even say this. That cash in don't, let me change that. That cash in don't happen on WrestleMania. It happens on the day after WrestleMania. That's when you do the cash in. The day after WrestleMania. Bizarro Raw. That's when you're going to get that cash in. Whoever wins that championship, they're going to lose it the next night. So we'll see what happens on that. But the match that should be the main event, because it's a homecoming. I almost said home going. My bad. It's a homecoming of sorts. Rhea Ripley will be wrestling at home versus Nia Jax for the Raw Women's Championship. And I think that we're both in agreement when we say that Rhea Ripley ain't losing at the crib.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, even though historically, the place that you definitely take your worst out, be the crib. Rhea Ripley is the hottest tweener probably ever. And I mean that in a few different ways, right? But for even Becky Lynch to come out there and be like, oh, y'all like mommy, huh? And that crowd started going bananas. Like, they went crazy. That lets you know that Rhea Ripley can spend the rest of the year beating up every single woman, no matter if they heal it.
Man.
And that crowd is going to be like, yeah, more. More, mommy, more. That's what they're going to say.
Pin these bitches with your ass up.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Do it for me. But all that to say.
So do it for me.
Right?
For me.
You know what I'm saying? That's a fact. So yeah, even though, look, Nia's on the roll, and I get it, but unfortunately, she only on the roll of, like, just, like, beating people up, like, when it don't matter. I got Rhea Ripley winning the real match because, again, all signs say Becky versus Rhea at WrestleMania.
Yeah, we in agreement in that. Rhea Ripley, she should end the night. Don't make the mistake that the WWE did in Puerto Rico.
Man, hey.
Don't make that mistake. Damian Priest versus Bad Bunny should have been the last match of the night. Don't make that mistake, WWE. End that match off of Australia with those two.
Absolutely. And Rhea, the healthy champion on her brand. Absolutely.
Yes, that too. So yeah, we'll see what happens at Elimination Chamber early Saturday morning. So, you know, you can watch that and then, you know, watch your Saturday morning cartoons.
That's a fact.
And we'll go from there. Now, one thing I am disappointed about Elimination Chamber is that it's another PLE where the Intercontinental Championship is not going to be defended. On Raw this Monday, Jey Uso is going to face Gunther. For the Intercontinental Championship. Does Jay stand any chance of defeating Goon for the Intercontinental Championship?
You know, I'm going to say yes, but this is an Elimination Chamber or a WrestleMania match, and that's my problem. That is my problem. This belongs at a PLE. This is a PLE match. It should main event Raw as well, but this is a PLE match. And this is the PLE match that both of these gentlemen need. One, because Gunther is the champ of champs to a lot of people, and you got to respect it. And then two, because we've never really seen Jey Uso like this on his own in a high-profile match. Yes, he's main event Jey Uso. He's earned that name, but This is supposed to be a full circle run for him, where it's like, yeah, no, I'm really main event Jey Uso. Hey, yo, I'm in the middle of this card, I'm the opening this card, or I'm the last two or three matches of this card at this PLE. Like, that's what it's supposed to mean to me, anyway. So, I do think that he has a hell of a shot. And you know what? I'm even going to go as far as to say no contest and we get them two or three times.
Remember when Jey Uso went to Raw and I was telling you and the listeners, I didn't want to see Jey Uso go up against Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Mm-hmm. The way that Jey Uso is and how hot he is, he should be wrestling for the World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
I still stand on that. I still stand on that he should be at that level and not wrestling for a mid-card belt. With that being said, I am going with the upset.
Okay.
My prediction is Jey Uso will defeat Gunther for for the Intercontinental Championship.
Wow. Okay.
Here's the thing, y'all. Gunther was reportedly, allegedly scheduled to face Brock Lesnar. Go back to a couple of episodes, y'all. Both me and Kemp told y'all, the fuck would Brock Lesnar be doing wrestling for the Intercontinental Championship?
Yeah.
That don't make no sense to me. He's never wrestled for anything outside of a tag team championship, and that was in a tournament.
Yeah.
All of his title matches have been world championship matches. Mm-hmm. So why does Brock Lesnar need to go up against Gunther for a shot at the Intercontinental Championship? You know what that means to me, y'all? Gunther was not going to go into WrestleMania as the champion.
Mm.
It was going to be a showcase match of sorts. Oh. This is a grudge. This is not talking about technical ability and shit. This is right. Big meaty men bumping me type of shit. But this is that version of Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels, or Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho. Two big names going up against each other in a major match at WrestleMania. Gunther does not need the Intercontinental Championship in order for that to happen. True. And I also believe that Gunther does not need the Intercontinental Championship to wrestle in that sort of a match. I don't want to see Gunther versus Sheamus, a returning Sheamus or anything like that. Not saying that he returned, but... And I don't think that we would need Gunther versus Randy Orton for the Intercontinental Championship.
No.
Which, that is another guarantee of mine. I guarantee that once Randy Orton loses this, it's going to be Randy Orton versus Gunther at WrestleMania. Which, if that's a match that happens, I would love it. Give me Gunther versus Randy Orton. But guess what we don't need in that match, y'all? The Intercontinental Championship. That's why my prediction, not going to guarantee it.
Okay.
But my prediction is that we're going to get Jey Uso at the end of Raw hoisting up the Intercontinental Championship, which may lead to a triple threat match of sorts between the brother and the cousins.
Okay.
At WrestleMania. But Jey Uso, let's get ready to congratulate this man for his first singles championship.
Hey, I like it. And I like the way Gunther's talking too. Gunther is talking like this Intercontinental title is now small potatoes, and he needs to be moved up. He needs to be moved up into that other main event conversation. And I mean, hey, it's well earned. It's well earned and well deserved. So
I also have another prediction, Kemp. Here's another thing that I would not be surprised to happen. I'm just full of predictions. It would not surprise me if one of these members of this Elimination Chamber match does not make it in the Elimination Chamber match. Remember when Kofi Kingston was supposed to be in the Elimination Chamber?
Yeah.
And Edge whooped his ass.
Yeah.
And then they put him in the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
It would not shock me or surprise me if, let's say, LA Knight. Listen. Or Bobby Lashley gets their ass whooped.
Mm-hmm.
And they like, we need a replacement. We hit a dur 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 dur. And Gunther ends up at WrestleMania versus Seth freaking Rollins. That would not surprise me, y'all.
Hey, listen. Hey, and the thing is, that 5-minute match is believable. Hey, if that happened, Damian can't cash in. See? Hey, I'm just going to give it a rip. You better figure it out. You better figure it out because they ain't cashing in.
If at the end of WrestleMania they say the winner and your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Gunther, Damian Priest, like, you know what? Fuck it.
Like, you know what? You got it. You got it, big dog.
Got it. You got a big dog. I talk, and Cody gonna win. So I'll see what happens on Friday.
Yeah.
No. I'm good. All right, man. Before we get out of here, like I said, on the road to WrestleMania, we're just gonna spend just a little bit of time talking about some of our favorite WrestleMania moments. We did 85 to 90, but I wanted to go into 90 to 91, some of our favorite moments. And I can tell you right now, one of my favorite WrestleMania moments of all time, no matter the decade, comes from WrestleMania 7. And what's that, 1991? The Ultimate Warrior versus Macho Man Randy Savage, or Macho King Randy Savage. To me, that is the most emotional WrestleMania match of all time. You can watch that match right now, and through the storyline, to the storyline inside of the match, Macho Man losing, Sensational Sherry beating his ass, to Elizabeth coming down and saving him, is the most emotional, gripping WrestleMania match of all time. And that match deserves to be talked about a bit more than what is talked about, because that match gave you emotion. If you were a casual fan, you knew who Elizabeth and Macho Man was. You probably didn't even know they was broken up at the time. Like, you probably didn't, like, what's this sensation? Who is this Sensational Sherry person? If you're a casual fan. But to see all of that and how that went down, it is one of the greatest WrestleMania matches, moments of all time. Definitely deserves a lot more love.
For sure, for sure. And man, you know, since you used that one, but this was literally in my wheelhouse, I'm going to go WrestleMania 8 to the other great story. Listen, I want to say the Macho Man Randy Savage has probably told the greatest stories at WrestleMania, even though they don't call him Mr. WrestleMania. But hey, do with that information what you wish. Because listen, and I love Shawn Michaels, but it is what it is. Because listen, man, Ric Flair versus Macho Man Randy Savage. Elizabeth was mine before she was yours. You want to talk about emotion again? Hey, look, he loses main chick and his career, but she come back. Then they get back a year later, and we find out a dude from North Carolina been beating her head in. And so now he fighting because that's his wife now. Love her. He love her, and he got her back. Hey, the Macho Man is... he was masterful at every single emotion. You want to, like, think about this. WrestleMania 3, right? This is one of the greatest storytelling runs I think you could ever have at main events, PLEs, we'll call them. It was pay-per-views back in the day. WrestleMania 3, he's telling the story about just being, like, one of the greatest dance partner ever, right? WrestleMania 4, it's literally the start from the bottom, it's my time to shine. WrestleMania is 5, best friends become bitter enemies. WrestleMania 6, I don't remember if he did anything. I forgot what that story is. We talking about 7, what Bang just said about losing this girl, career match, the emotion, all into that. Then we go to WrestleMania 8, fighting for the love that he lost and regained while also beating the greatest of all time in another area. Like, you can't buy an anthology like the Macho Man Randy Savage's. It really is, bar none. It's unparalleled when you really dig into the stories that he tells specifically for WrestleMania. You'd be hard-pressed to find stories that are more emotionally gripping than his. So, I would have picked 7, his match at WrestleMania 7 against the Ultimate Warrior, but I got WrestleMania 8 right up there. Against Ric Flair for the exact same reasons.
Yeah, you can't discount, you know, the boyhood dream.
Yeah.
You know, you can't discount that. Even hell, a moment that lives in infamy in the WWE still to this day, is Bret Hart versus Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is the image of Raw to me. You know, Stone Cold and the Sharpshooter with blood going down his face.
Yeah.
Like that will forever, always, and forever be the image of Raw to me.
But that's one story.
Yep.
The Macho Man, he Trump tight, as we would say on the Spades tape.
Oh, yeah.
hey, and again, yes, respect to all of that, because, hey, look, we grew up in this time. So we know the boyhood dream. We know the Austin era has begun. We know, Bret Hart, just the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. That is like a lot of WrestleMania prequel setup with Ric Flair kicking it off. so shout out to Ric Flair again for just being that guy. But yeah, man, it's really hard to pick against the Macho Man in any capacity before 1993, if you're talking about most memorable story at a WrestleMania, best matches, best storyline, most emotion. Like, it's really difficult to pick around him for this.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say that, because Macho Man is definitely, in the last couple of years, become probably one of the most, if not the most, underrated wrestler of all time, right? I still find it hard to believe that anybody does not have Macho Man in their top 10, let alone great. Top 5. But I get it. You know, there's been a lot of wrestling that's been done since then. But he's in my top 5 still. And part of the reason why he's in my top 5 Macho Man is because of what you just said. There's nobody in the WrestleMania era, to me, that has given you the emotions of a match, that have reeled you in quite like the Macho Man.
Yeah.
Like, you, WrestleMania 4, I've said this, WrestleMania 4 is the reason that WrestleMania 4 got me stuck on wrestling. Same. And that's Macho Man versus the $1 Million Man. WrestleMania 5, Hulk Hogan versus the Macho Man. To me, that is the best lead up to a WrestleMania main event ever, and I don't think it's ever going to be topped, you know, in the emotions of that match. And then just going to WrestleMania 7, like skipping 6, going to WrestleMania 7, and you having the whole thing about, you know, the career versus the career thing in general. I hit the button on my doggone thing. Hold on for a second. How you do this? There we go. There we go. You know, you got those noise cancellation things. You hit it, and then next thing you know, you got the echo.
Oh,
like three echoes. Yeah. So it's like, oh shit. But yeah, but then you got that match with the Ultimate Warrior, and then you got your match, WrestleMania 8 versus with Ric Flair. Yeah. And hell, even if you want to go to WrestleMania 10, because that was kind of like his last stand. Right. Macho Man's last stand at WrestleMania, him versus Crush and everything in the Falls Count Anywhere match.
Yo, I forgot. WrestleMania 6 was Dusty and Sapphire versus Randy and Sherry.
And that's why I said if you want to skip that, you can.
Yeah, but.
But.
Yo, but that story is, yo, I got rid of my old chick. Now she with this fat common man and his black bitch. Fuck all of them. I'm the Macho King, but I'm the king right now, though. Like, hey, look, hey, it's what we don't give Sensational Sherry enough credit for as far as this is that she always got the dude at his peak, whether it was the $1 Million Man, whether it was the Macho Man Randy Savage or, you know, Shawn Michaels. They all get with her and then they ascend and then they get rid of her. Like, it's bogus, but that is a great storyline when you think about it in hindsight. It's like, you know, it was the king versus the peasant. You know what I mean? I mean, hey, again, you can skip over it, but masterful storytelling nonetheless by the Macho King Randy Savage, because there's a difference. The Macho Man Randy Savage, the Macho King Randy Savage was two different characters. That's where Booker T got that from. Just throwing it out there.
And let it be known, I said all of those things and didn't even say WrestleMania 3.
There it is.
See? Didn't say WrestleMania 3. And I didn't say, and honestly, I ain't say WrestleMania 2 either. Because remember, at WrestleMania 2, he wrestled George the Animal Steel, and George the Animal Steel was like, yo, I don't think you're treating Elizabeth right. He went from and then from there is WrestleMania 3, which is one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time, him versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. So you give Macho Man that WrestleMania 2 to WrestleMania 10 run, you tell me somebody who's had a better WrestleMania run. From WrestleMania 2 to WrestleMania 10, tell me somebody who had a better WrestleMania run in great matches than Macho Man Randy Savage. You try to say the Undertaker, I'm going to laugh at you because he wrestled The Big Show and Nathan Jones at a WrestleMania. He wrestled Giant Gonzalez at a WrestleMania, ladies and gentlemen. That match, The Undertaker said, took years off of his career. So I'll say it again. Matter of fact, all those people that are still commenting on Greg the Hammer Valentine shit, tell me a wrestler who had a... Matter of fact, I'll go grander. This is not a challenge. I just want y'all to let me know. Who is a wrestler who had a better pay-per-view PLE run with their matches than the Macho Man Randy Savage from WrestleMania 2 to WrestleMania 10? Tell me. I think that's a great question to have out there. Because, like, Cam don't believe Shawn Michaels is Mr. WrestleMania.
Nah.
And that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Macho Man is why Camp from the Port don't feel Shawn Michaels is Mr. WrestleMania when you got Macho Man delivering at WrestleMania 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, and he commentated at WrestleMania 9.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the highlights every single year. You can't tell a WrestleMania recap without a Macho Man Randy Savage match. You can tell it without some of the Rockers matches, though. I'll tell you that. You can throw out the Rockers versus the Orient Express to me if you want to from WrestleMania 6. I'm gonna tell you, get GTFOH.
So for all of y'all still commentating on the Greg the Hammer Valentine video. You tell us who had a greater PLE pay-per-view run than the Macho Man Randy Savage. We've given our guaranteed tees. So, hey, man, close us out, Kent.
All right. Man, hey, it's been a pleasure. Thank y'all. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, Greg the Hammer Valentine still got y'all hot, huh? Get a life. All right? Throw the sock away. Pick up a real woman. Do something nasty to her. Got too much time on your hands. Hey, listen, but shout to Organic Growth, because I could tell some of y'all literally listening to it for the first time. So you know what? Hey, that's just the first Black Champ podcast growing. So you know what? Hey, do y'all thing, man. Do your thing. I'm doing my thing. You feel me? Do your thing. You know what I'm saying? And shout to everybody that is a part of the FBC community. Likes, comments, shares, the questions, rumor and innuendo, the post, ice cream bar submissions. Hey, man, listen, man, we appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, Bang and myself could do this show without all of your help and assistance, but your help and your assistance is what make it what it is. And for that, we sincerely and graciously thank you. So remember, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Pick VP, DOC, and we are out. Champa, don't let me down. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.